We'll be in chapter 23 this morning of Genesis, starting with verse 1. And Sarah was 120 and 107 years old. These were the years of Sarah, of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from you his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it to me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of the city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is there, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I thee, bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron, in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if you will give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, hearken to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave that was therein, and all the trees that were therein, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Now again, this is not a historical book. It was written in antiquity. So some people would say that would make it a historical book. Yes, it was written a long time ago, but what is it trying to tell us today? How this applies to our life. It's something to do with the life of Abraham. Are we the seed of Abraham? If we're the seed of Abraham, this has a very pertinent thing to do with our lives and our walk with God. Okay? So as we go through this chapter, we have to see that something about Sarah is going on in Abraham's life. And what would Sarah be in the position of Abraham's life? What was she? She was his soul. Yes, it was his wife, but it's his soul. And something's happening here to the soul. It's dying. What would that tell you is happening in Abraham's life? His spirit is coming to life, coming to maturity, and his soul is taking another place. Second seat. He is becoming one with the Father because no longer is his mind, his will and emotions, his thought processes supportive in his life. Now they're back there. They're not important. See, everything grows strangely dim in the presence of God. And when God manifests himself in your life, it's amazing how your emotions and your desires change and seem to just kind of fade away. It's like, you know, I used to do all this stuff. And I used to think that was just wonderful. And like, I don't even care anymore. It just kind of goes away. It's not like a certain time everything just changed. It just fades away. You almost don't realize the change has taken place until you realize, I'm not doing that stuff anymore. So Sarah was 127 years old. That was the years of the life of Sarah. Now, what does that 127 represent? 127. You have to factor the numbers. 127. What's one? God. Two. Witness. One. A witness. One is God's witness of what? Seven. Perfection. God's witness of perfection. Now, did it say the soul was perfected? No. The soul will not be perfected. My mind, will, and emotions will never be perfected. They will be done away with. See, if I put on the mind of Christ, you know, guess what? That's not my mind anymore. That's not my mind, my will, and emotions anymore, is it? It's His. So we're seeing Abraham come to a place of perfection when he realizes his soul, his woman, is not his important part thing in life. His focus no longer is on my desires and my will and my emotions of life, but now my focus is upon one thing, God. Now notice he never disrespected his woman, did he? But he's realizing she has another place now. Okay? We have to come to a place where I have emotions, you have emotions, but those emotions don't control my life and they should not control your life. That's when I realized my woman's in the back seat. I'm driving this bus. See? And when I say I'm driving the bus, I'm talking about the Christ within me driving the bus, okay? As Abraham represents the Christ, Abraham is in control of his emotions. Did Sarah get him in any trouble during his life, her life? I think I can think of a whole lot of situations that she got him in trouble because of her input into his life. He listened to it, but she pushed at it, you know. And just like our souls will not quit pushing as long as we have them walking at one, as one with us. Our soul has to be in the back seat. It cannot be in a place of driving and controlling. If you put it in the driver's seat, you're going to have trouble. The soul got to be in the back seat where it can't get to the pedals, can't get to the throttle, the brake, or steering mechanism. Okay? And that's what's happening in Abraham's life. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. Do you know what this means? It's the same word as Hebron, which it says, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan, which is a low place, low land. It means a place of association or the city of four giants. What do you think those four giants were? It is the carnal mind, but you remember this giant that David slayed? You know how many brothers he had? See, God took care of that one thing, the giant. You know, what was the giant's name? Goliath. He took care of Goliath. But he had four brothers, and that's where she was living. That's where she buried. You know why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It dies where it was. When we die, the dust returns to the earth from where it came. It can't go anywhere else, can it? But the spirit is the main thing. It's going to go on. So we see her, the soul, passing away, going to her place in Hebron, that low place where all the other giants go. They die right there. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep. Now, does that mean that Abraham no longer has emotions? It showed you he had emotions even though his soul took her rightful place. Correct? There's a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, to cry, whatever the things, there's time for it. And it's okay to have emotions. Believe me, I have emotions. I can be up and I can be down. If a situation requires it, I have emotion. You know, if there's a loss, a great loss of someone, I can weep because I feel that pain of loss. But they do not control my life. It won't crush my life no matter who passes because that's part of the system. That's the way God set it up. We live and then we pass through this life and step into the fullness with Him. So I'm not upset about that. It's just I feel the loss of the person. I can be happy. You know, not a problem. But they don't control me. It's not necessary for me to be happy all the time to have a wonderful life. You know, if you stay on that high, that euphoria realm of and get all these chemicals released in your body when you're on a real happy day, you know, it'll wear you out after a while. It'll just wear you slap out. And then you won't know the difference. If you don't see the negative, how will you ever appreciate the positive? You got to have a little bit of both in life. Okay, verse 3. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth. Now, Heth was a Canaanite. And if we go back to Deuteronomy 7:1, we find out that the Canaanite was one of those ites that was in the land from the very beginning, right? And it speaks of terror or fear. And he spoke to that fear. What fear do you think Abraham was addressing? How about the fear of walking by himself after he'd walked with Sarah all these years? Don't you think that they had an attachment? Well, see, when I've been walking, or you've been walking with your woman all these years, and then you have to put her in the back seat, separate from her, guess what? There's a tear in here. You know, you've made a bond between that, haven't you? And that woman's got to step back there. You got to leave her back there, and I got to walk on with Christ. When you follow Christ, you're not following in some other person's footsteps. You're following Him, see? You're not following the path of the majority. You're following a new path. You've never been this way before. When you come to this maturity, that you can walk by yourself and still be okay with that. See, that's the maturity that Christ walked in. How many people agree that Jesus was right in everything He did? How many of the religious leaders of the day agreed with Jesus? None of them that I know of. If some of them said, you know, I think He is, but I'm still afraid to walk with it. He's all by Himself. Oh, couldn't talk out publicly about that. Just like when Paul came along. He spoke things and he paid the price for it. Cut his head off. You know, that's the way it goes. Well, you're going to speak? See, they were trying to stop the Word of God, which they couldn't do. Every prophet that God pulled out of here, prophet, prophetess, however you want to say it, man or woman, whenever God called them to walk, they had to walk out in a place where they were separated and they were ostracized from the communities and wherever they lived, from their families. Do you think that's a pattern? The word's established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I can show you hundreds of witnesses where everyone in here that served God was ostracized. If they played the game and tried to ride the fence, they weren't ostracized. They were well-liked. And you know what? Majority of the ministries today in the world are, quote, well-liked, quote, well-respected in the community. Are they not? Something's wrong here with that picture. Because God's people have always been aliens in the land. They've always been different. They've always been separated and ostracized. Have they not? Okay? But Abraham spoke to this fear and said, I am a stranger. I am an alien. That's what he's saying. I'm an alien and I'm a sojourner. I'm a temporary resident with you. I'm just passing through here, but I got something to bury. It's called my flesh, my soul, my woman, my mother. I'm going to bury him here in the lowland with the Canaanites. That's where it belongs. What's the Canaanites represent? They're ites, but rolling in the dust. What was that word? No. Philistines. Which were Canaanites? The Philistines. Rolling in the dust. Excuse me, I couldn't get that word pulled out. But they're rolling in the dust. That's the place for them. They stay in the dust. They can't go anywhere else. See, no one can walk from Passover and Pentecost into tabernacles except the Spirit opened that way in. It's not our desire to get in there because the book says there's nothing in me that draws me to God except the God. Dave doesn't want to be around God. But the Christ in me does. You hear what I'm saying? My flesh is no different from your flesh. It wants to be flesh. It wants to be pampered and puffed and fluffed and all that stuff, you know. But I can't have that. I can't allow that to happen if I'm going to follow after God, can I? Got to realize it's not important. All I got to know is I'm following after Him. And my flesh can just shut up because it don't get what it wants. And the children of Heth responded to Abraham and said to him, Hear us. It's the word Shammah again. Hear us, Lord. You are a mighty prince. You know what the word for mighty prince here is? Or for mighty? Elohim. You're an Elohim among us. You know what? They hid that in there. Abraham was Elohim. They recognized him as the Son of God. You think the world recognizes us as sons of God? Not very many. But see, this was toward the end of his life. He was an older man. He had shown himself. He had experienced everything. Abraham didn't just get talk about it. He got to live it. Guess what we get to do? We get to walk it too. You think that God's going to let us pass through and not experience what all of his other people have experienced? They experienced it only as an example to show you what you've got to walk through. If I didn't know that, don't you know we could be in total turmoil? That's why the church world's always saying, the devil's beating me up today. In the churches today, all over this land, there's people standing, the devil tried to keep me from coming to church, brother. I had a flat tire. I know the devil gave me a flat tire. No, it didn't. There was a nail that stuck in it. There ain't no giving no credit to no devil. The only devil that I got to worry about, the one between my ears. Is that right? Ain't no devil kept me from going. The devil between my ears tried to tell me, you don't need to go to church today. Well, if you don't need to go to church, don't go to church if that's what your desire is. See? But I don't go to church because it's Sunday. I go to church because I love God and I want to be around His people. Has nothing to do with that. I get my food every day because I feed myself. I don't get up in the morning and say, someone feed me. Do you? See, we have to learn to feed ourselves. And when I say feed ourselves, I mean have communion with God. You don't have to have your nose stuck in the book to have communion with God. I can talk with God anytime I want to. I just come back from a trip to Texas. I drove 16, 17 hours nonstop except for gasoline and grab a bite to eat once in a while. And I never turned the radio on. I got a big stereo system in that vehicle. Never turned it on for 17 hours. You know why? I was hearing here. I was letting God talk to me here. Yeah, I was driving. I got tired. But you know what? God kept me going. Because of hearing what I was hearing and communing with Him was all kinds of thoughts racing. I'd love to have a video of what was going on in my head while I was there so I could show people. Most people would probably run. But I was having a wonderful time with God in my head, talking to me while I was driving for 16, 17 hours nonstop except for gas. See? I don't need these other external sources. I got the best movie videos. I got the best music in the world inside of my spirit. I can listen to it anywhere I go. Do you realize that? You have the same thing. You just have to tap into the source. And you don't have to have the external sources anymore. It's a wonderful thing. And Abraham's finding this out. Okay? But these people recognized and saw that he was a mighty prince, or Elohim, a king. And that's what it says. The word mighty means is Elohim, and the word prince is king. You are a Elohim king. You're a first fruit king. You're a son of God. Hello? They recognize that. And see, you'll never see that in the King James language because it's mistranslated. You have to go see yourself. Well, he'd been there for many years, and they had saw him, and they saw his lifestyle, but something was different between him and everybody else he was living around. Okay? Something was different. I didn't see any of these people saying, hey, we'd like to follow you. Did they? I didn't see that, but anyway, they go on and said this. In the choice of our sepulchres, or the best of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from you a sepulchre, but you bury your dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, to the sons of Heth. And he communed, or literally he spoke with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, Shammah. Hear me intelligently with the intent to respond to me, and entreat for me to Ephron, okay, the son of Zohar. He said, if you really want to, listen to me. Talk to this guy and tell him what I need. Abraham already figured out where he wanted to put this woman, didn't he? He already knew where he wanted to place her. And he wanted to put his soul in a place it belonged. And he says, to the Ephron, and Ephron means what? Fawn-like, that tawny collar. And he was a Hittite. He said, the son of Zohar. And what Zohar mean? It means whiteness or dryness. It's a dry place. He wanted to put it in a dry place. Well, the soul probably don't know much except dry, does it? And he said, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah. What does that word, Machpelah, what does it mean? Double portion or something else? Fold something double. Now, what does that tell you? Double portion or fold something double? Look at me. To fold something double. Humility. Humility. He bowed himself. He folded himself. Okay? He's bowing down. The soul has been humbled. Okay? Put in its place. When you're put in your place, doesn't that humble you? So, he said, I want the place of humility, that place of humbling, which he has, which is at the end of his field, for the money it is worth, he shall give it to me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. He said, if I'm going to go and bury something here, I want to put it in a place it belongs. He didn't just bury him any place. Put him in a cave inside the earth. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And what is Heth again? The terror, the Hittite, represents fear, terror. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience or the hearing of the sons of Heth, of fear, even to all that went into the gate of his city, saying, and what was the gate of his city? What was his city? No. Machpelah is the field. Okay, the city is back up in verse 2, Kirjath Arba, which is same as Hebron, okay? The city of the four giants. So he says, everybody that went in that place heard what was being said. He said, no, my Lord, hear me. The field I give to you, and the cave that is therein, I give it to you. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Now here it is. See, now when somebody gives something to you, what do you think about it? What value do you place on the gift rather than something you've purchased? Well, I'm saying is, if somebody gives you something, you don't have the same value as something you earn. You pay yourself. You hear what I'm saying? If someone gives you something, do you have the same value placed on it as something you work and earn and purchase yourself? You usually don't. And he's saying, I really don't want no strings attached to what Abraham's saying. You know, I just got my woman in the back seat. See, I just got her separated from me. I don't want no strings tied to these Hittites, these Canaanites. I want to sever these ties. I want to pay for it, and then you don't have any strings on me. Not owing them anything, see. I'm going to pay for it. If you give it to me, you feel like you got some strings on me. That's what he's trying to tell them. And Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, but if you, I pray you hear me, I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. See, he said, take the money, and then I'll bury. He wouldn't accept the gift. He didn't want any strings attached. And Ephron responded to Abraham, saying to him, my Lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and you? Bury therefore your dead. Now what does the 400 shekels of silver represent? What's the four represent? Complete. Okay. Four giants. It's complete, and the silver represents what? Redemption. A complete redemption. You know, to have complete redemption, I have to get my woman in her proper place. I'm not talking about natural woman. I'm talking about my soul. She has to be, the dust has to go back to the dust from where it came. My spirit has to be in control. This is not a man thing. This is a Christ thing. This is a spiritual thing. My spirit must be in control of my life. If I'm going to be a mature son of God, I can't have any external influence. Hello? If I'm going to be the son of God I am called to be, my emotions have no bearing on what I do. The only thing I say and do is what I hear my Father say and do. Isn't that what Jesus said? I only do what I see Him do, and I only say or do what I hear or see Him do. Do you see the pattern I'm trying to show you? My emotions cannot make my decisions for me. Feeling happy can't make decisions for me. Feeling sad can't make decisions for me. Feeling depressed can't make decisions for me. It makes no difference. I make decisions from facts that I know, from truth that I know. There's two different kinds of truth that you'll face in your life. And there is two truths. I'm not talking about a false truth and a truth. I'm talking about a temporary truth and an eternal truth. There's a temporary truth that I can tell you right now. It's a truth. Fact is, we're all sitting in this room looking at each other right now. That's a truth. Is it an eternal truth? No, because here in a little while, we'll be going home to our own ways and we won't see each other. We won't be in this room anymore. See? So it's a truth, but it's a temporal truth versus an eternal truth. And the only one I live by is the eternal truth. And that's what I want you to show you, that that's the important thing in your life as well as my life. Because see, it's not important that I walk my life and live in the eternal truth and live strictly by the fact of truth and not by my emotions if nobody else does it. It's not good for me to gather everything for me. Do you hear what I'm saying? If I can't give it away, what good is it? What good is it, Bob? If I can't give you the peace that God has given me, what good is it? Jesus had the peace of God. Would you agree to that? Okay, what did He say when He left? My peace I give unto you. Now, He didn't keep it for Himself and say, hey, I got it. The heck with all the rest of you. He said, no, I came for one reason, to show you this peace and to give it to you. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give it to you. If you got it, you got the same peace I got, and I don't have to worry about anybody, do I? Isn't that a wonderful place? Kind of gives more meaning to it. It's more blessed to give than receive. See? No stress whatsoever. You can live this life with no stress. Your mind will want to run, but you just tell it to shut up. Okay? Verse 16. And Abraham hearkened to Ephron, or listened to him, and Abraham weighed, or literally what? He paid to Ephron the silver, which he had spoken in the hearing of the sons of Heth. 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. Now, current money doesn't make sense. Literally it says, in the currency of the merchants. So he paid the bill. Now here's something you got to watch. Look at this. He said the currency of the merchants. You can't buy spiritual things. If you're going to pay something in the world, you've got to pay it with worldly money. Is that true? I've got to reach in my pocket and pay the bill when I go to a store and get something. Don't you? And that's all he did. He said, I'm paying carnal people with carnal money because there is no spiritual money. You don't need money in the kingdom of God, do you? In this world, we need money. When we pass from here, ain't nobody taking it with them. I care how tight they are, how much money they think they can take with them. Nobody's taking it with them. Okay. So he's paying carnal things. He's dealing with carnality around him just like we have to. We have to deal with carnality. We got businesses in this world we have to do, and how do we get it? We can't spiritually buy our product to sell, can we? Okay. You have to pay with carnal money. It's all carnal. Anyway, and the verse 17, and the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, right, was before Mamre. Now, the word before here does not mean before. The language literally says in the Hebrew it means east of Mamre, east. What the word says, it means east. It was east of Mamre. Now, what's the word Mamre mean? It was east of Mamre. It means strength, and it's an Amorite. And Mamre was a person, he was an Amorite, and it represents pride. Now, the word before, I can see where it comes from. If you're coming from the east, it would be, in the daytime, it would be, the sun would come on this place before it would come to the other place. So when they say the word before, it came to their, if it's on the east, it's before that one. Okay? So, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre. Machpelah was a place before pride, okay, the strength of the Amorite. And the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, and that were in all the borders round about, were made sure. Now, it said all the trees. Why would they be talking of trees? It's humanity. All humanity was what? And all the borders round about were made sure, or literally established. The language says they were established. All humanity is established when the woman is put in her right place. Hello? We're talking about the soul. When the soul is put in her right place, humanity is then established. I see the message of reconciliation. It was purchased with a price. Here's the crucifixion. Here's everything going down in this picture. But see, it's saying that all humanity is established through this. Abraham purchased it, didn't it? When Jesus died on the cross, what do you think died there? It was his soul. It was his woman. The man Christ inside of him, the Spirit, never died, did it? It returned to the Father. Exactly what's happening in us. See, same pattern is going down right here. See, he let his soul, his mind, his will, and his emotions, his desires, all went to the side. He said, Father, it's not my will, but it's your will that will be done. He just put his woman in the cave of Machpelah. Do you hear me? And we all got to do the same thing. When that woman begins to talk to me and try to convince me to go some other way than what the Christ goes, I say, woman, get in your place. Do you hear me? Get in your place. Because I'm not going the way you want to go. I'm going the pattern that God has shown me. And if I don't travel that one, I'm wasting my time. This life has no meaning to me. And you know, I see so many people running around the world today, and all they're doing, now we got to see it this week, especially being in Texas down on that big lake. So many retired people. And you know what they're doing? They're living to die. They're just waiting to die. I've worked all my life to do this. What are you doing? I'm waiting to die. That's all they're doing. They got nothing productive in their lives. And don't you know when people come to the age of 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, they got more wisdom in them than all the youth combined? They've got all this experience of life to share, and what do? They go out and sit down on a lake someplace, sit down on a mountaintop. Yes, I know humanity can be frustrating. Yes, it can it? But so what? Man, I have a wealth of life in me, and why do I want to take it out and bury it someplace, on a hillside or on the side of a lake someplace? They're a great place to visit. I love to go to the water. I love to go to these places, but I don't want to live there isolated from humanity. Humanity is the purpose of Christ, isn't it? Wrapped it in a napkin and buried it in the earth. And that's what they're doing. I mean, it's sad. I see so many people with so much ability, and they're just doing foolish things to the world. They're just consumed by those things. Well, I've wanted to do this all my life. Why? There's no fruit in it. I mean, I don't have to go fishing to live. I can live if I never go fishing the rest of my life. I hope I get to go again, but it's not important. I'll get a chance when he gives me the time. But anyway, all these stuff were established. Into verse 18 it says, to Abraham for a possession, for a price, in the presence of the children or the sons of Heth. And all that went in the gate of his city. Everybody went in there. It's established to them that this belongs to Abraham. This is the price he paid. Okay? And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, right? Before Mamre, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan, or with the land of Canaan. and the field and the cave that is therein were what? Established to Abraham for a burying place by the sons of Heth. They were established. You know what? Can you change what's been done? He's already purchased you a burying place. Your grave has already been set. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it's appointed unto man once to die. That word man should be humanity. It's appointed unto humanity once to die. And when that humanity dies, tell me what's left. The Spirit Christ. That's all that happens. This is the same story. I don't care how many times you read this Bible, how many different versions you go to, how many different chapters you go to, how many books you go to, all you're doing is reading the same story told in 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 different ways. It's the same story because there's only one message in this whole book. It's about Christ, Him crucified and resurrected in you. That's all it is. No big mystery. See, I don't think there's some great revelation that God hasn't told us yet. It's the same thing. God is love. And He come to reconcile the whole world, all of humanity, back to Himself. That is the message of this book. It's the message of every book in this Bible. It's the message of every chapter of this Bible. Every verse of this Bible, the root of it goes to the message of Christ, Him crucified, resurrected, purchasing the blood, all of humanity back to Himself. That's a beautiful picture. And when you get to there, guess what you find out? I'm going to find that in every chapter I go into. I'm going to find it in every book of the Bible. It's a wonderful thing to understand it. It's not complicated anymore. That's why He said even a child can understand it. Well, guess what we are? We're children of the Most High God. We can grow up and be sons, mature sons. That's the point. If somebody keeps telling us we're babies all the time, what are we going to be? I used to sit under a man years ago and he kept telling me, and I was 8 years his senior. He kept telling me, you're a baby. You're not mature enough to preach. And yet God was giving me revelation, and I would show it to him, and he would go preach it. He was preaching something he didn't know. See, he was preaching hearsay. And it didn't change anybody's life because he didn't believe what he was preaching. It's just some new thing he was getting a hold of. My wife used to sometimes want to go up and choke him. I said, I'll leave him alone. She said, but he's stealing your revelation. I said, nah, it's God's revelation, and he ain't got it. He's just saying words. See, if you don't have a revelation is something internal. It's not just words, it's something internal. If I don't know what I'm talking about, what business have I got talking it? There's no life in it. There's no spirit in it. It's just carnality. I could take the same words that the Spirit of God gives to me and write them down on a piece of paper and quote them to a parrot, and that parrot could quote them back to me, but there'd be no spirit in those words. See, if I believe those words are magic, then I believe in magicians and soothsayers. I don't believe in none of that stuff. I believe in the Spirit of the living God gives me understanding and gives you understanding. And I got to have it, and you got to have it to make it through. Not by memorization. Not by learning to say the right word. See, that's a wrong thinking process. I've got to depend upon that guidance system within me called the Spirit of God. And when I do that, guess what? I got nothing to worry about because He'll take care of all things. He's the master, and He's the one that has the responsibility of taking care of you. I know the bride has to make herself ready, but He is the master, and He'll see to it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Correct? So what's your responsibility? Seek after Him. I'm done. Anybody got questions? You can have comments. You can throw rocks. You can do anything you want to.